3 John chapter number 2, and we'll see how this goes, or I mean, what I mean by that, we'll see which direction the Lord takes us in it. But it came to me 2 days, whenever it was, a day or two ago, that I need to teach a little bit on prosperity.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You might say, well, my goodness, you talk about that all the time. Do you know, if you went back into the archives, a literal series on prosperity almost doesn't exist in this church. That we've preached. Now, in Bible school, we taught on it, but we haven't really taken time and just done a series on it. And so I don't know how far we'll get with this. We'll just start out and see how far the Lord takes us. And but if you read in the Bible, this is God's idea. In fact, this verse that we're turning to, 3 John chapter number 2, actually, if you assess what it says, you'll see that your desire for prosperity really didn't originate with you.
That's right.
Amen. It really originated with God for you. In fact, until I started hearing it taught in the Word, because I didn't hear this when I was in the denominational church, but until I started hearing it in the Word, I never thought much about it. You know, I just knew we were supposed to work hard and get our bills paid. But when I started reading the Bible, I mean, the first verse I found was Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. And I saw that and I'm like, God's interested. His blessing will financially take care of me. I mean, that was a foreign concept to me. I never thought much about it. So, I mean, as far as God helping you, I just thought I was just sort of on my own, you know, just work and earn and pay your bills and hope you get ahead. But no, the Bible really says a lot about this subject. And, you know, what's in my heart about this subject, I probably never got 10 or 20% of it out. That's a pretty small percentage. I think we've started out to say some things a few times and, you know, everybody started choking. So we, maybe not everybody, I shouldn't say it that way, but some of us started choking. Well, let's see how far we go. You know, whenever you start talking about this subject, people get nervous because they think you're going to take an offering up afterwards, but the offering's already been received, right? And people get nervous because they, for various reasons, you know, there's been things, there's been abuse in this area, and people don't want the abuse, and I don't blame them. I don't want the abuse either. How many of you want the pure Word of God along this line and not a bunch of covetousness and extortion or, you know, whatever, pressure or anything like that, but just the Word of God that feeds our faith? I feed my faith on this a lot. And so, you know, if you want to harvest along a certain line, plant the seed. And I'm just not talking about finances. I'm talking about plant the Word of God. Plant the Word in your heart. Mark 4 says, the parable of the sower, Jesus said, the seed is the Word. So let's look at the Word. 3 John 2. Remember this verse? If you don't remember this verse, I don't know where you've been. Maybe living under a rock, but you're going to hear about it tonight. Proverbs, 3 John 2, verse number, 3 John chapter 1, verse number 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now that desire, that word wish is translated desire in other translations, or some say pray, that you would prosper and be in health. Prosper financially is what the word prosper means, and being in health, we all know what that means. Even as thy soul prospers. I wish, or I desire. Now this is John writing to a man named Gaius, and he said, this is the desire I have for you, and here's the reason why. The very first word, beloved. Beloved, the one that I love, the one that I love.
Yes, sir.
Now, this love that John had for this young man came from God. I said it came from God. So the love of God in John towards this young man longed for him or desired for him to prosper financially. And so people say, well, that was just Gaius, excuse me, that was just John towards Gaius. No, it was God in John speaking to Gaius because the Spirit of God prompted them to put it in the canon of Scripture.
Yes. Yeah.
This is the will of God.
Yes.
This is the desire of God for every single one of us. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. God desires me to prosper and be in health as my soul prospers. There's a whole lot there about the soul prospering, and we could get into that. I want to get into, rather than talking a lot about that tonight, we're just going to actually help prosper your soul with renewing your mind with some things God put in my heart. So, but really, so you could say this then, the way this comes out through John, the one that was so, this John was the closest disciple to Jesus when Jesus walked the earth.
That's right.
And he knew his heart. He was close to him. And Jesus talked to him in ways that he didn't talk to the other apostles. And that love that they experienced, John said, towards you, Gaius, I desire this. That love that God has for his people wants them not to struggle financially. Praise God. And it is more than just not wanting us to struggle. He actually did something about it. In redemption, he included this area in our redemption. You owe the devil no poverty days the rest of your life. You don't owe anybody any broke days for the rest of your life. You don't have to serve poverty because of your past or because of, you know, I missed it today. Amen. You can be free from it because you're redeemed from the curse of the law. You go back to Deuteronomy 28, you know, that's Galatians 3. But you go back to Deuteronomy 28, the curse of the law includes poverty. So we're redeemed from that. So this love that God has for us included redemption from poverty. Now, in a lot of church circles, those are fighting words. I mean, this is heresy that I'm talking about in their minds. This is, I mean, the people, boy, they, I mean, I'm not encouraging you to do it, but you just do a prosperity teaching search on YouTube or something like that. The only thing that'll come up is that, oh, this is heresy, heresy, heresy.
Yeah,
so you're going to have to guard your heart and guard your ears.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people standing against this,
right.
But they never say why. They don't know why. They just pick up what everybody else says. Did they actually go to the Bible and read the Bible with an open heart? Now that's important right there. With an open heart and see what the Bible actually says. Not tainted through religious eyes, not with a preconceived idea trying to prove the point that they have preconceived as already, you know, right. But actually open with an open heart, looking at what the Bible says, and read it with an open heart. There is no way to read this with the Bible with an open heart and say that God wants us to be poor. There's just no way. Well, the Bible says give us this day our daily bread, so just so we have enough for every day.
Come on.
Okay, daily bread was what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years, and that was not God's best. They put themselves there by disobedience. God had Canaan's land in mind for them the whole time. They were out there eating daily bread. Why was God taking care of them out there? Because they missed his best. Daily bread is not his best. So, no, his best is Canaan's land, you know, that kind of blessing. So this was God's desire, originated with God, and there are things that the Bible warns about, but not against abundance. It warns about heart conditions. Loving it, seeking it, serving it, putting it first, being proud over it, making it your source. That's, you can do all of that without two dimes to rub together. And those warnings are not about a financial condition. They're about the heart condition. And so, don't ever let somebody tell you, well, the Bible warns you against prosperity. No, it warns you about covetousness. It warns you about loving it, seeking it, serving it. We could go through all those things, and we have in the past, right? That's the warning, and not forgetting God in it. The word of God is given to us to keep this desire. John said, I desire. If it's God's desire for you, it's okay for you to desire it. Yes. In fact, every man alive does desire it.
Yes. That's right.
He desires to have some things.
Yes.
Religious people will falsely say they don't, but they really do.
Yeah.
Right? But this desire, your desire to have some things, nice things, and to live good, even for your children to live better than you, right? That came from God.
Amen.
That didn't originate with you. That came from God.
Amen.
Amen. The word that is given to us that we read about, you know, not loving it, serving it, so forth, all those things which we could spend a lot of time on, that those words are given to sanctify this desire, to keep the door closed to the devil from stealing it from us.
Yes.
Amen. But the desire is not wrong. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
And so that the word is given to us to show us God's way of doing this. Because the world does have a way of doing this. But God's way and the world's way are two different things. If you read 1 Timothy 6:10-12 very carefully, 1 Timothy 6:10-12 shows you two systems of getting into abundance. One of them is the covetous world system. One of them is the faith system in the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen, sir.
If you read 1 Timothy 6:10-12 very carefully, we're not going to look at it tonight because I got something that the Lord's putting in my heart to get to. But you read those two. The issue is not that whether somebody has something or not. The issue is what spirit they yielded to get it.
Right. That's good. That's real good.
Are you still with me tonight?
Yeah.
Because people can yield to covetousness, you know, and abusing relationships, family relationships or whatever, just to have more money or something like that. And they're not going to give. They're not going to bless anybody else with it. They're just going to get all they can all they get and sit on the can.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's right.
That's the wrong spirit.
Right. Wrong spirit.
But there is a way to do this that you yield to the Spirit of God. And you can prosper and be holy at the same time. If you read Deuteronomy 28 very carefully, it talks about all these blessings will come on you and overtake you, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in your basket, blessed in your store, you know, blessed going out and blessed coming in. You'll be the head and not the tail, which means you'll lend and not borrow. And God will set you on high above all others, right? All these things. And then he said, right in the middle of all that, and you'll be a holy people unto me if you do things my way. Holiness and prosperity are not something you have to choose between.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Having a clean heart, free from covetousness, amen, and prospering, having a clean heart and prospering, you can do both of those at the same time. In fact, to be honest with you, one of the reasons, now don't misunderstand me, it's not the only reason, but one of the reasons God has set giving in the church is in order to keep his people free from covetousness. You want to be free from that thing that keeps keeping you out of church or the plan of God or something like that? Give it away. That'll get you free from it.
That's right.
Amen. That went over like a lead balloon. But so that the Word of God sanctifies these desires, right? And it shows us God's way of doing this. Now go over to Isaiah 1:19, and I'm going to read this in the Living Bible. Isaiah 1:19, a verse we're familiar with in the King James. If you be willing and obedient, right? If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land.
Amen.
Praise God.
Woo!
Now, see, we read that and we say, oh, yes, the good of the land. But let's talk about specifics. Mansions.
Yes.
Lamborghinis.
Yes. Come on.
Yes. Good.
The $7,000 sunglasses.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
See, some, I lost some of you right there.
Come on.
That's the good of the land. Praise the Lord. Well, that's a waste of money. Oh, really? Some things that some people, anyway, I'll get to that. Isaiah 119, the living Bible. Isaiah 119, the living Bible. It says, if you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, then I'll make you... Is that a sanctified word? That's not sanctified. We can't say that in church, right? Some of you don't know what we see. So you're not looking at that translation, so you know, don't know which word. Rich.
Rich.
Rich. Rich. Rich. Rich. Rich. Rich. Rich. Rich.
Rich. Rich. Say it again.
I'll just say it because people get nervous. Rich. 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 Come on. Listen to the heart of God in that. If you only let me help you. Do you know he wants to help you? There's no child of God alive on this planet that God's not wanting to help them get out of the struggle and the rat race and the struggle financially. If you'll only let me help you. I hear love in that. I hear desire in that. I hear somebody that wants to take care of me in that. I hear the heart of a father. I hear the heart of a father. You ever watch the father, a son's trying to do something? Let me help you. No, daddy, no, daddy, no, daddy, you know. Well, they're going to struggle, right? Here's God saying, let me help you. Let me help you. If you'll only let me help you. If you'll only obey. Oh, whoa, that's a four-letter word, Pastor. If you'll only obey. Obey what? Do what my word says. If you'll only let me help you, if you only obey, then I'll make you, say it,
rich.
Rich. Rich. Now, you know, somebody said, what is rich? Well, if you look the word up, it just means an abundant supply. The word abundance in the word abundance, I don't see it right in front of me. I can tell you, I think I'm quoting it pretty clearly. The Complete Word Study Bible says the word abundance is in the Bible, all through the Bible, New Testament and Old Testament. It's not always talking about finances, but many times it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The word abundance means that which is left over after one is fully satisfied. Woo-wee. Someone, I'm satisfied. God said, I'm not. I got to keep. No wonder the psalmist said, my cup runneth over. That's after he's fully satisfied. That's enough, God. That's enough, God. God said, I'm not satisfied. I love you more than that. I want to help you more than that.
Glory.
I'm satisfied. You know, you've heard people say that. And they're, hey, fine, if you're satisfied. But maybe God's not, number one. And I've heard people say, well, I really don't want much, you know. You know, a lot of people like that, they're selfish.
Yeah.
They're thinking of themselves. And that reveals where one of the areas their thinking is wrong about prosperity is they think this message is all about me getting everything I want. Prosperity is not just about you.
Amen.
Prosperity is really about God.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll be honest with you. It's about God and him getting done down here what he wants to get done.
Amen.
Now, don't misunderstand me. God does not need an excuse to bless you because he wants you to give it all away. He blesses you because he redeemed you from poverty and he loves you. He doesn't need to say, well, I got a motive for this, and that is for them to give it to my plan. Yes, we're to love him enough to give it to his plan. But listen, we owe no apologies to anybody for having things.
That's right.
Amen.
We owe no apologies for it.
Amen.
This is good.
How do you show people? Because I've had this happen. I've had it happen in people given towards me, and I've had it when I give to others. Is that whenever anybody had this experience, when somebody, when you were struggling in there and somebody just out of the goodness of their heart because they love God and want to be a blessing, have you ever had somebody give to you and whenever they gave it to you, you almost had to go in the other room and weep?
Yes.
Because it wasn't about the money.
Right.
It was about my Father cared enough and saw my need.
Yes.
And he moved on somebody. When you really get into this, this is not about money. This is about knowing God as your Father. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's about, really, to be honest with you, using the blessings of God to help other people see how good God is. I've had conversations that started about God over nothing more than walking into Walmart, slipping somebody a $100 bill that God just, the compassion of God was flowing towards.
Yeah.
And it opened up a whole, I didn't say anything, you know, but it opened up a whole conversation about God.
Yes.
In fact, a lady, the Walmart, what's her name, the lady that, you know, the attendant there, she came up, she saw it, she came over and she wanted to talk about God. Because the people see God in generosity.
Right. Yes.
Generosity is completely against your fleshly nature.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
It's completely against the whole flow of the whole world. But it's right in line with the nature of God, the new creation, and the nature of your Father in heaven. And people recognize God every single time they see giving, generosity, love.
Yes.
If that shows God to people, why should we say we don't want any of this old world's goods? Because we're robbing God of an opportunity to show people everywhere we go, God is good. He's good. He'll take care of you.
That's right.
That's right.
That's just wrong thinking. Man, I don't want any of this old world's good. You're selfish. You're selfish. Absolutely yourself. You're thinking that this is only about you. This is not only about you. I feel mean on the devil tonight. We got to get our thinking right. It's about God showing people his love and showing people how generous he is. For God so loved that he what? So loved the world that he gave. He gave. And there's nothing that shows God more than just giving to people. I mean, they'll say, oh, you didn't have to do that. No, I didn't do it because I had to. I just wanted to. You talk about a good day, that will change your day. You see, we live our days focused on ourselves. You get to focus on blessing other people. I mean, you'll have a kick heel time. Think about it. You know what a kick heel time is. So, this message, go over to here. Where did I had you in Isaiah 1:19. Go to Deuteronomy 8:18. Go to Deuteronomy 8:18. It says, this is the King James, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it's he that gives thee power to get wealth. I don't know how much more plain you can get than that. It's he that gives you power to get wealth, that he might establish or may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Now, you could look at that, that he might establish his covenant. You could look at that two ways. To establish means to make good on something. In other words, I'm doing this to make good on the covenant I made with Abraham. I made a covenant that I would bless him, make him great, and he would be a blessing. So I'm doing this for you, his seed, to follow through on what I told you I would do. Now, he actually told him, he said, I know you're going to get in there to Canaan's land. You're going to forget me, and you're going to serve other gods, so forth. But I'm going to do it because I'm a God of my word. Right? Yeah. He warned them not to forget him because it would open the door to them losing it all. But God's a good God. Anyway, so you can look at it that way. Another way you could say it is power to get wealth that he might establish his covenant. Establish his covenant would be to so that we could spread the covenant. How many of you know the gospel is free, but the pipeline to get it to people costs money? Absolutely. So to get the message out. You know, people, they criticize certain ministers because, you know, they have such a flow of abundance. But you know, the ones that I know, the more abundance they have, the further they're reaching more people than all of us.
That's right.
Because they know what it's for.
They know what it's for. That's right. Amen.
Amen. So power to get wealth, and he might establish his covenant as he sware to thy fathers as it is this day. But let's back up to that term, power to get wealth. The Hebrew says power to produce wealth. That's what the Hebrew says. So when you think of it that way, the word get sort of seems directed towards me. The word produce, sort of, in my thinking anyway, when I hear the word produce, it means I'm focused on others. Amen. Produce wealth. Amen. Amen. Now, when you produce it, you're going to get blessed. Yeah. How many of you know a business is producing whatever? You know, you might say, well, you know, these dirty people, I don't want to use a company's name, but you know, let's just take the founder of Microsoft. Mm-hmm. He's not known to be a godly man.
Right.
Okay. But he's produced something that all of us need and enjoy, and it helps us greatly.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
So we all go, here's our money.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Right.
That's right. Right.
That's right.
Yeah. Maybe if you're an Apple guy, you don't, but you know what I'm talking about. Right. And he's greatly assisted our society.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Why? He produced something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yep.
Right? He produced something that all of us go, yeah, that'll help me.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep.
That'll help us run our business. That'll this, that'll that. And he's way beyond the original software, but you know what I mean. But the point I'm saying is, since he produced something, he became wealthy. You know, that's a biblical principle. I'm not saying he's a godly man, but I'm simply saying that is a biblical principle. What have you produced that everybody wants to buy? See, that's a thinking that I'm going to produce something that will bless people's lives. Right? Even if it's a service and not a product. A service, maybe mowing yards or whatever. I mean, that's a simple one. But that blesses people's lives. I mean, they don't have to get out there and do that and so forth and so on. But they'll say, here, I'll pay you to do that, right? You produce something and they pay you for it. That's called power to produce wealth.
Yes, sir.
So you're not just thinking of yourself, you're being a blessing to other people.
Right.
And by the way, that's the motive for business.
Yes,
yes,
right.
Sir.
Yeah.
Not to make a bunch of money.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
But to produce something to bless people.
Right.
We're out to be a blessing. Well, praise the Lord. That's a new way of thinking for some, but that's absolutely the way you need to be thinking, because he gives you the power to produce wealth. And so you're not just thinking of yourself, you're thinking of being a blessing, right? And so, but people, they struggle with this. The Bible talks all about it, but they struggle with it. But the reason they struggle with it is because they haven't really truly heard the message, number one. But number two, they have the idea that it's all about them. It's not all about us. It's about being a blessing, right? All right. So prosperity is really, I was meditating on this afternoon and it came to me this way. Prosperity is a debt that we owe to the Lord. We owe a debt to his plan because of what he did for us. We're indebted to him to prosper.
Amen.
Amen. And return to him something to be a blessing to what he has in his heart. And you know what he has in his heart? This is how his heart beats. If you listen, you put that, what's that called? Stethoscope? You put that stethoscope, you put it in your ears and put it up to God's heart, his heart will beat. People.
Yeah.
People. People.
Yeah. Amen.
Yep. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. People.
Yeah.
People. Don't run over people to get money. Use money to bless people. That's the true message of prosperity.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you believe, you be a blessing, they'll turn around and bless you.
Yes.
Say amen, somebody.
Yes.
So it's really a debt you owe the Lord. Amen. It ought to be that we just want to be carrying around wads, $100 bills, and just see somebody that compassion's flowing out towards. Because how many of you know you just want to just distribute it to every need you see?
Right.
You follow the compassion
right.
of God.
Right.
Because there are some people that aren't open to hearing what you're saying.
Right.
So, but I follow the compassion of God. When compassion starts moving out of me, I mean, it's just good to have wads, $100 bills. You can just say, I just wanted to give this to you. And they said, no. I said, no, it's the love of God in me towards you. He loves you. Well, you just see tears stream down their faces. Oh, thank you. A lot of times they'll just say thank you. Boy, next time, maybe that's all you, maybe you don't say anything else about Jesus, but somebody else comes talking to them about Jesus, they'll say, oh, he's that one that led that man to give me that $100 bill or whatever.
Yeah.
It use it to get people into the kingdom of God. Amen. So people struggle because they've not really heard the message. They also struggle because they have the idea it's all about them. No, it's about people. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
There's been times, like I've said, where I'm gonna get on this a little bit more, where somebody gave me something and I just said, thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Excuse me. And go ball in the other room.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you with me tonight?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
It was not about the money. It was about he loves me. He loves me. And I got to know my Father better. Come on, somebody. I got to know my Father better. He is good. He is generous. He's not making it hard on me. He moved on somebody to help me. The hardness is coming from this system down here in this world that I still haven't learned how to walk free from it yet. Amen. So really, it's about people. Don't misunderstand me. You are a people too. Right? Hallelujah. It'll do some folks I know a whole lot of good to just enjoy a few things. Yeah, just enjoy some things. Because your Father's good. Hallelujah. Now, I've met people that kind of were in such bondage that they felt like they couldn't enjoy anything good. They had to give it all away. That's bondage. I said, that's bondage. Anyway, can I just share a little bit something about this giving part? And like I said, I've met people that in one way or another, they kind of implied or told me, not everybody, but sometimes they just kind of, well, the way they say it, they kind of imply that they don't want anything because that's not important to them. See, their thinking is all wrong because they just think it's all about me having things.
Right.
What about people?
Yeah.
What about people that God wants to reach?
Right.
That statement can be made. I won't say it's true about everybody because God knows everybody's heart. I don't know everybody's heart. But that statement can be made because people are stingy and they don't want to spread anything around.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. There's just not much of the grace of God laboring in a man's heart like that. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
A person like that doesn't have, I don't know if some of you are listening to Brother Joel Siegel's offerings on the evening services, how he was talking about 1 Corinthians 8, where it talks about they begged us to give.
Yeah.
That's not natural. That's not the fallen nature.
Right.
That's the grace of God. If you read that passage, I want you to know the grace laboring in the church at you know, there where this is happening. He said, they begged us. Take this. We want to be a blessing to those people up there in Jerusalem, Judea, who were, you know, struggling. They had a long famine up there, you know. Take this. We want you to take this up. That's not the fallen nature. That's the nature of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So to say, I don't want any of this old world's good, there's just not much of the grace of God laboring in you. Boy, that's a new way. You got to think about some of these things. How many of you know we got to think a little deeper about some of this? And so their minds are completely on their own desires, like I said. There's a lot of people. This book was written. God gave us the Word of God to reveal Himself.
Yes. Yeah.
right? And we can look through here and see God is gracious. God is good. We see Jesus on the cross taking our place. Look at the love of God for us. And we see so many things that reveal God's nature. But you know, there's just a lot of folks won't pick this up and have a, get a revelation of God from this book. Right? But when you demonstrate the love of God and give something to them, although they haven't read the book, or let's put it this way, haven't read his book, they're going to see him. I said, they're going to see him. Hallelujah. They're going to run head smack into him. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because of your generosity that comes from his nature in you. His caring nature. Amen. You know, they're not going to get it from, a lot of people won't get it from the Bible, and they're certainly not going to get it from life's experiences, a revelation of how good their Father is. Life's experiences beat people up because they're living down here where the devil's stealing, killing, and destroying. And they're not doing anything because they don't know the devil's got their minds blind. They're not doing anything to you know, keep him from being active in their life, right? So where are they going to get it? They're going to have to see it in you and me. I said they're going to have to see it demonstrated by our giving to them. Maybe it's not always finances, but in any way that the Lord leads us. Amen. So if that's how God reveals himself to people, don't you and I should not want to rob God of those opportunities. To say, I don't want to, this is not important to me, is robbing God of opportunity. See, you are not going to be available, or if that's me saying that, I'm not going to be available to operate in this, to show God, show people our Father. We're going to rob God of that opportunity. Whatever we can't give, he's going to have to find somebody else. Right? So, we should be wanting to be a part of people seeing God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Learn to look at the harvest like Jesus and be moved with compassion toward them. This is something God's been working in me lately. Not irritated and angry in the flesh. I mean, I just take a simple thing like people in traffic that are mad because of, you don't know what reason they're mad, but they're just not courteous as a driver, you know, and cut you off or do whatever. You know, I used to just sort of get, well, bless God, you know, get up on their tail, you know, just. But you, as the Lord has worked in me, anybody, the Lord's working in you? Yeah, we're a work in progress, right? We're getting our minds renewed. As the Lord has worked on me, and I got convicted by getting up on their tail. Don't look at me sanctimonious like that. As the Lord's worked on me, I realized they're hurting. They're being beat up. I mean, things are, you know, the experiences they're having in the world where the devil's running stuff for them, running roughshod over them. You know, their father is not a generous, giving father. He's a meanie. He's a thief, steals, kills, and destroys. And they're living under that. And then so they act out, right? Right? Learn to look at them with compassion rather than irritation. Pastor Nancy said this, and I'm paraphrasing. I don't know if I'm saying exactly like she said it, but she said something to this effect, that God can't use you to minister to people that you're irritated at. Right? Whenever the driver gets an attitude with you and you get an attitude back, by the way, you stay on their tail or whatever. You know, if you stopped and he pulled into Walmart and you pulled into Walmart, you couldn't go over there and say, I just want to talk to you about Jesus. You have ruined your chance. Does he need Jesus? Yeah. But is he going to listen to you? Nope. Well, praise the Lord. You glad I'm back home? So learn to move with compassion. You can't minister to people you're irritated at. Amen. And so if you'll yield to compassion, then God, somebody, you're somebody God can use. Hallelujah. So a lot of times I've found in my life that whenever I let God love on me, I'm more a pure representation of his love flowing out to other people. Right? Does anybody know what I just said? In other words, God needs you and I to drink in his love towards us. Like a flower in the sunshine. You ever seen a flower? Not, I guess all of them are different, but some of them, they'll like when it rains, they'll kind of close up. But when the sun comes out, whew, that's the way you need to do to the love of God. Letting him bless you, be good to you, show his nature to you. I ain't even got to my subject yet. Let him show you how good he is. And then whenever you experience his blessings like that, it's easier for you to turn around and show that to other people. It's only when God knows, when we know God in that way, that we can receive from him. But then it's only whenever we know him in that way that we can demonstrate that to others, especially when they're irritating us. Yes. Right? Yes. Anybody know of anybody that has a way of irritating your flesh? Years ago, a pastor actually heard this, and he turned his whole church, he turned the slogan of his whole church into this. I was preaching in his church, and I say, here's our mission, to know him and to make him known. Yeah. To know him and to make him known. Yeah. You can't make him known if you don't know him. Yeah. If you don't receive his abundance, you can't make him known to others or be good to others in that way. Amen. So, all right, now, let's look at something that we're going to wrap this up. We got a little time here. Let's look at something that I believe the Lord wants me to emphasize. How do you, go over to the book of Romans. Go to Romans chapter number 1. Go to Romans chapter number 1. It tells us in verse number 20. Now, I'm going to read the New Living Translation. Romans 1, verse 20. Say hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Romans 1, verse 20. This is the New Living Translation. Before I get into that, let me say this. This is why I'm sharing this verse. We'll get to it here in a second. To really begin to accept prosperity, you have to get to know your Father.
Yes.
You have to know him and his generosity towards you. I this afternoon had all these notes I was getting ready to preach to you tonight, and the Lord said, nope, you're going to have to back up. You're going to have to back up. Go back to just knowing who I am. Knowing my nature. Knowing my character. Knowing my goodness. How much of a giver I am. So we're going to back up. And I'm so glad because I got blessed studying this. Let's go back. Now, to know God, you know him through his word, right? But, you know, the Bible talks about in Ephesians in the Amplified, it talks about knowing not just through, textbook. It doesn't use the word textbook knowledge, but it talks about knowing his love experientially. You ever notice that in the Amplified? That you might know and experience the love of God that passes knowledge. You need some experience in God.
Yes.
Not just to know all the verses about him, but you need to just let him,
yes.
you need to experience him
yes.
in all of his goodness.
Yes.
And when you get to experience in him, you'll find, oh, I thought I knew him, but here, look at this. So you'll get to know him through his word, but you get to know him, look at this verse. Ever since, this is the Romans 1:20 in the New Living, ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, that's creation, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature. so they have no excuse for not knowing God. Now, this is saying that creation tells us about God. Some people look at creation and they're so blinded with their resistance to the fact that there was a creator, they just ignore what they see plainly in plain sight. But that doesn't mean it's plainly visible. I mean, that it's not plainly visible. So, how can you look at the intricacies of a cell or look out into the you know, what's that, not the Hubble, they put up another one, another space telescope. Anyway, they're seeing way, way out there. Not all the way, but they're seeing a lot further. And the amazing creation out there is amazing. Anyway, but people can see God in creation. That's what this is saying. Notice what it says. By looking at creation, they can see. Notice what the New Living Translation says. They can clearly see his invisible qualities. Everybody say qualities. Then it says his eternal power. Say power. And divine nature. Say nature. Qualities, power, and nature. They can see his qualities, what he's like, who he is, what his nature is. Right? Amen. Okay, so he's talking about creation. All right, take a look at creation. I mean, yeah, you see it every day, but think about it. Think about it. A creation is a very abundant thing. Very abundant thing. I heard recently that there's like 3 trillion trees on the planet. Now you say trillion or what? So much. I mean, you start counting a trillion and see how far that is. That's a lot of trees. Do we need all those trees? I mean, if you had one in your backyard and you had one in your backyard and you had one in your backyard, there's only what, 8 billion, 7 or 8 billion people on the planet? Wouldn't 7 or 8 billion be enough?
Yes.
Not with God. Because that's not his nature. Just enough is not his nature. Oh, he's a God of more than enough. Amen. Every year I cut down just a few trees, and we got 50 acres, and I cut down a few because you can see they died. Or it's almost dead, or it blew over, and there's a log there. So I cut it up and haul it out and sell it. That's just the ones that died. Which by the way, God never created death. They're never supposed to die. But anyway, and I make a little cool few bucks, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, amen. And but all these are just growing, and the one that died, now there's more sunlight getting to the ground, which means a whole bunch more are going to sprout up. You know, do we need all these trees? Does Pastor need all those trees? No. It's not about need. It's about who God is. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. How about all the birds? Do we need all these birds? Why did God make all these birds? I mean, he could have made them just in some monochrome colors like gray, brown, and black. Do we need all these colors? Huh? Come on, somebody. Nature tells us God is a too much God. We don't need all these birds, but we got them all. We have a... There's different kinds of birds, as you know. I forget how many there are. There's like tens of thousands of kinds of birds. Yeah. Well, wouldn't it be okay if we just had 3? Maybe small, medium, and large. The small would be white, the medium would be gray, and the large one would be black. Why do we need all these birds? Because that's his nature. He's a too much God. He's a more than enough God. He doesn't create them because we need them. He creates them for us to
enjoy.
We put a bird feeder out on our deck on the back of our bedroom every year. It's a oriole feeder because we love the oriole. This is probably our favorite bird, the oriole. They're black and orange. I mean, it's brilliant, brilliant orange. You're like, God, look at God.
Yeah, that's it.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a That's a beautiful thing. And we have we've got like, you estimated this year, we probably have 20 pairs. Or no, is it 10 pairs, 20 birds?
That's
your estimate. Because some
pairs.
Yeah.
But
because sometimes after it rains, they'll all come to the feeder all at once. And you can start counting like, oh my goodness, there are dozens of these things. Just that's one kind. Do we need all those birds? No, but we enjoy them.
Yeah.
It's just nice to watch them. And then, the coons started finding our bird feeder. So at the nighttime, they're up, the coons trying to get it. So what do? Every day, we grab the bird feeder right to sundown, bring it in to the bedroom, and put it on the floor in a container. And then as soon as 5:30, she was talking about the other day, 5:30 in the morning, they're out there. It's like, where's our food? So we, whoa, what time is it? Oh, yeah, here's your food. Yeah, it's just, oh, because this is so enjoyable. The rest of the day, I get to watch the birds. Jesus said, look at the birds. Praise the Lord. Do we need all those birds? No. It's not about need. It's about abundance. It's about his nature. It's about how giving he is. Hallelujah. Praise God. So did God create all that to be impressive? No, he created it to reveal himself. That's what this says. Creation, Romans 1:20, creation was made to reveal himself. He's showing us, I'm an abundant God. I'm a too much God. I'm a more than enough God. You don't need all this, but that's not why I made it. I gave it to you more than enough. Can I get even a little bit extreme on this? God is excessive.
That's right.
God is excessive. If you don't believe it, then go to heaven. Excessive. Extreme. Extravagant. Do we need gold streets? Do we need? No. To him it's nothing. I mean, when you can go like this and say, streets be, more gold streets, there it goes. It's nothing whenever you can create gold streets. It's nothing.
That's right.
We're getting a new mentality tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No, he made it to reveal himself. You can learn much about God by just looking at creation. You just look at all the different kinds of animals, all the different kinds of things. You look at the abundance of gold in the earth, the oil that's in the earth, the resources that are in the earth. You come away thinking, God's a big God. He's extravagant. Amen. You can see a bursting level of supply. Don't let the world tell you we're running out. That's a lie from the pit of hell. They said that all through the 70s. We're running out of fuel. We weren't running out of fuel. It's just the devil. There's enough on this planet to last for a long, long time. Amen. God, this is Genesis 1. Oh, my goodness. Where'd time go? All of a sudden, the last 15 minutes disappeared. Genesis 1, 28 and 29. This is what God said. He blessed them. God, this is, okay, let me kind of give you the setting here. The Bible talks about God creating the heavens and the earth and man and all that. And then he put man in it and he created man, breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul.
Yes.
And these are the first recorded words that man heard his creator say. So you gotta get the picture here. Man's like, and there's God. What's the first thing God says? He blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful. Multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every living thing that creeps and moves upon the earth. And God said, this is the second thing he said, behold, in other words, look, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and that which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. That's the first thing God said. He breathes in God's breath. He said, there's my creator. Have dominion. Take charge.
Yes.
I've given you everything you see. Look, look, look around, look around. He was in a garden called Eden.
Yes.
You look up the word Eden, you know what it means? Luxurious. God put man in a place of luxury. He opened his eyes and God said, this is all yours. I made it for you. Take charge over it. And I've given you. And the first thing, one of the first revelations man got of God was, my creator is a giver. He gave me all this. Notice that. You need to circle that in your Bible. I have given you. I have given you. The first thing, one of the first things he heard was, my creator is generous. He's a giver.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
He said, behold. Did you see that? Behold, I have given you. You need to underline, behold, and I have given you.
Yes.
So, boy, I'm just now getting to my subject, and I'm out of time. Anybody ever seen a couple, maybe most families here have had babies. What happens whenever you know the baby's coming? You make a room, you get everything ready, put a crib in there. It doesn't matter if a couple doesn't have hardly any money at all, they'll make a place for that child, right? They're preparing for that child to be there. God said, if you read the whole creation account, it said the stars, the sun, the moon, the planets, everything are for times and seasons and to show, the Amplified says, to show his provident care. In other words, everything around, the whole universe was made for the earth. The earth was made for God's man. Man was made for God's plan.
Yes, yes.
Man was made because God was a father and he wanted somebody to take care of.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He wanted somebody to lavish himself on. He wanted somebody to love him. He wanted to fellowship with him. Because it's hard fellowshipping with trees. Hello? Tell the tree huggers that's hard for you to. He wanted somebody to love on. He wanted somebody to lavish himself on. He wanted somebody to fellowship with. He came down in the cool of the evening every day. Adam, Adam. He wanted somebody to talk to. Are you enjoying the garden? Adam didn't have to ask him for lunch or breakfast, lunch or dinner. It was already there. He could just walk over to the tree. Amen. Woo. God created the whole universe to take care of this planet. And the planet was man's home. God made this planet for man. In other words, the last thing that God did was create man. In other words, everything he had done up to that time, leading up to this. What are you going to make? Remember the angels, the Bible says, the angel says, what is man? What is man? Let us make man, God said. What is man? The angel said, what is man? God said, watch. He created man. Breathed into him. And he said, this is all yours. Adam's like, he's looking at his creator. And he said, God said, look. He said, see all this? Showed him everything. He said, it's all yours. I gave it. I'm giving it to you. Ooh, my creator loves me. He's a giver.
Yeah, he's a giver.
That's the first revelation God wants you to know about your father. He's the same today. He's already prepared everything you need in this life, and he's a free giver.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you what, I'm going to go home all warm and cozy tonight because I got a father. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And if you read the whole story, you'll find God saying, and by the way, Adam, the gold's over there in the land of Havilah.
Yes, sir.
And the gold's good over there. He gave it to him and told him where it was. And then you read things like this. Let me see if I can find this. Genesis 2:9. Out of the ground, God made the Lord God to grow. Every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Notice that. He didn't just make it for food. He makes it because it's pretty. Pleasant to the eyes. Pleasant to the sight. pleasant to the sight. So somebody said, why do you have that? It's pretty. Well, you don't need that. No, my Father's generous. He likes me to enjoy things. He gives me all things stingily just to meet my needs. No, he gives me all things richly to enjoy. When you get to know your Father, verses like cast all your care on him, for he careth for you. Now they mean something different. My Father cares for me. Amen. Then you read Deuteronomy where it says, you know, Deuteronomy 28:1, or actually, it talks about all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Oh, I don't need to chase the blessings because they're chasing me. My Father, come on somebody, it's beneath who he made me to be to chase things, because they're chasing me. Love is pursuing me. My Father is good to me. Somebody said, well, why is it so hard then? Because of wrong thinking, not knowing all this is actually that we're the target of all this. We got to get to know him. Well, did you get anything out of the word? Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. It wasn't just because it met the need. It was just pretty to look at. Now you men know where your wives get it. Well, why did you have to get another pair of shoes? You already got a black pair. Yeah, but this one has a buckle on the top. I am not responsible for how much money your wife spends, all right? So, but hallelujah, you got that in you, ladies. You got that in you. Guys, you do too. Hallelujah. You don't just want a pickup truck. You want the special wheels on the pickup truck. Well, you don't need those special wheels. Those are $1,000. What do you need those for? I mean, wheels go round and round and round. You don't need big fat wheels. Just get something that goes round and round and round.
Yeah, come on.
No, but see, now this is pretty to look at.
Yeah.
Chrome. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Yeah, now I want the lights that go up underneath the wheels, and I want the truck jacked up and have those purple lights underneath it so that I'm driving down the street at night. You don't need all that. No, you don't, but you enjoy it. Hallelujah. It's not just about God meeting your needs. He gives you these things to enjoy. He's your Father. You know what kind of car he wants you to have? Jesus said this to Brother Hagin one time. He said, you want to know what car you want to know what kind of car I want you to have? I want you to have the one you want.
Yeah. Ooh. That's right.
Stand up with me. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Say, my Father's a good, 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 good God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The only place in the universe that we have record of that the perfect will of God is done all the time is in heaven. And have you ever read about heaven? Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Oh, I mean, he's just a too much God. When he fills us with joy, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, just having a smile on our face is good, God. No, he said, I want it to be where you just go, who I just go. You can't express it with words. The peace that he gives, it passes all understanding. Right? When he fills us with his Spirit, he told us to drink. Don't be filled with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You could say he's saying in excess. Just keep drinking until you're just overflowing with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And we could go on and on. The Bible says my cup runs over. John 10:10, I come, you might have life and have it more abundantly. That word means more abundantly means excessively in the Greek. Just excessive life. Wake up in the morning, pow, my eyes are, woohoo, I got strength and energy to go. Hallelujah. Abundance in every area, strength, joy, faith, supply, you know, just, that's our God. That's our Father. Praise the Lord. Well, that's my introduction. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God just wants us to see him real clearly. And not just be kind of, you know, because we can get our nose to the grindstone, so to speak, and we're looking at the needs and so forth. And before you know it, we don't see God as who he really is. We're lifting up our eyes tonight. Hallelujah. Father, lift your hands tonight. Father, thank you. We worship you tonight. We worship you for who you really are. Father, we see you clearer tonight. We see you clearer tonight because we're lifting our eyes above the smog and fog of this world where there's so much of the enemy's activity around us. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for revealing yourself in your word. We receive the revelation of who you are, and we don't let the enemy snuff it out. We hold fast to the knowledge of who you really are. In Jesus' name. And Father, also thank you for helping us to lay hold of this and to walk in this and learn, Father, to boldly lay hold and claim it. In Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we know that you're a good God, and we owe no apologies to anybody for walking in abundance. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we'll use it to show other people the love that you have for all of us and your generous nature. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Don't train your children. This just came up in my spirit. I was gonna just dismiss, but it came up in my spirit. Don't train your children with no, 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 no all the time. Daddy, I want this. No. You think we're made out of money? No. Don't build that into them. They'll have to undo that like you've had to undo that. You say, you know, Jesus will get that for you. Let's pray. Right? Somebody said, I don't even believe, I can't even believe God. Yeah, but they can. They got childlike faith, man. Hallelujah. And you need to let them have that opportunity. Let God show himself to them. Hallelujah. Well, greet somebody and say, our Father is an extravagant Father. And he wants us to see who he really is. And I'm gonna let him show me, and you're gonna let him show you, and we're both gonna show everybody around us. Amen.